Welcome to the Unstoppable Success Podcast, where we spotlight visionary leaders who have mastered the art of growth, purpose, and powerful connections. I'm your host, Jacqueline Strominger, connector, high performance coach, and creator of the Leap to Your Success framework and Two Steps to Yes. Each week, we dive into bold insights, real conversations, and powerful strategies to fuel your growth, deepen your relationships, and ignite transformational momentum. And why? Because you were meant to be unstoppable. Now, let's leap into the podcast. Well, hello, everybody. Okay, what if the problem isn't your strategy, your team, or even execution? What if the real constraint is something invisible, something shaping every decision, every interaction, every result you're getting right now? Culture. Today, we're not talking about managing culture. We are talking about catalyzing it. Because when you shift culture, you don't just grow, you multiply. Welcome to the Unstoppable Success Podcast. I'm Jacqueline Strominger, your host. And today I am joined by another Jacqueline. Obviously, you've got greatness in the room. Jacqueline Orrin, she is a culture catalyst and architect of a system designed to create positive exponential cultural change. So we're not talking theory. This is truly science-backed, and it is built for leaders at a turning point. And I know each and every one of you, we are looking for unstoppable success. So if you've ever felt like you're on the edge of your next level, but something unseen is holding you back, you are going to just love this conversation. So welcome to Unstoppable Success, Jacqueline.
Thanks so much for having me here, Jacqueline.
I know, it's so funny to like me saying that. It's like Jacqueline. I know, I would always say it's like Jacqueline squared, right?
We can play that all this whole time.
All day long.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I am so kind of curious. All right, you know, I love what you're doing, but you know, this thinking about leadership, you know, you talk about leaders standing at this precipice, right? Between, you know, who they've been and who they're becoming. And I love that because we actually talk a lot about that in a book that I co-authored. So what does that moment actually look like? And what separated you when you went through it?
Yeah. So I'll talk a little bit about how we even like identified that as like an issue within leaders, for example. And I've been in personal development and transformational work for about a decade now, literally a decade. First learned how to master transforming myself and then transforming others even exponentially. And then I got to see by working with specific leaders in an organization who hold the primary decision-making power, you can create an entire system change. Okay. And when I started primarily working with leaders, what I found was the leaders that I was drawn to work with had literally just achieved what they've spent the last 10, 15, 20 years doing. And now they're at this, like, I've done the thing, now what? And they have this interesting experience of reality where they're like, there's a part of them that's like, is there something wrong? And they start looking for what's wrong. And then when they actually get honest with themselves about what it is, it's that they fear that they're not growing, so that they're dying, which is literally called entropy.
Right. Yes. Let's go back to the science.
They're at an interesting point because, you know, by most people's standards, it's like, well, they've done the thing. So what is it that's really calling them next? And in my work, I actually applied to go to grad school to study consciousness and how it connected to systemic change after working with key leaders and seeing it in my personal practice. And I got to be connected to a couple of different people that are really important. Number one, Richard E. Boyatzis, who spent the last 60 years studying change. How does change happen from an individual to an organization to the community? And then I got to be introduced to Dr. Benjamin Hardy, who's written Who Not How and 10X is Easier Than 2X and The Gain and the Gap with Dan Sullivan, both of which read my thesis. And Boyatzis was like, you are correct. Consciousness is the root of systemic change. Here is where it is in my theory. And that Ben was like, this is amazing. I want to do anything I can to help you. Don't read any of my other books besides The Science of Scaling that he just released. So I came home And I actually gave the science of scaling to my business partner. And I was like, I don't feel like you're dreaming big enough. Like, why don't you read this? And then she actually brings me through the science of scaling. And then I shortened the timeline on what I was actually trying to do with grad school, which was I was trying to create my own system. And I was trying to get on stages, which is exactly what I'm doing right now. And it turns out I didn't need to spend $50,000 and 2 years of time to do that when I decreased my timeline from 3 years to 1 year. It's using time as a tool. And I realized once I actually processed and had a bunch of emotional reactions to taking the path for grad school and how committed I was to it and how much I wanted to do it, that the research actually already existed for how cultural change happens, how to scale it exponentially, and how to do it from the root cause, which is consciousness itself.
Right.
So
You
when I, what'd you say?
No, I was just so funny. It's like consciousness is so important because and then there's the unconscious, like the things that we do, right? Just, but how do going from one to the other,
Yeah,
building.
going from one to the other. And it was funny too, to I want to answer your question directly, is because you're like, why are we speaking to these people who are what's next? And in the previous year, I had hired someone who was helping me get out of the results-oriented paradigm because my work was way beyond what people could imagine. And I didn't want to limit what they would receive by being like, you're going to get this result. And this coach who, he cost six figures a year to work with him one-on-one. And he was like, you need to connect to what is the ideal outcome and the dream of the people that you're here to serve. And it took me many months, but eventually it came out of one of my clients' mouths. And it's called a cultural catalyst. And I want to read to you what a cultural catalyst is, because it's not what everyone, it's different than just organizational culture. A cultural catalyst is a leader who shifts culture itself, the invisible network of shared norms, consciousness, and structures that connects every level of a human system. They do this through resonant relationships characterized by shared vision, shared compassion, and shared energy. These relationships create a positive emotional contagion that spreads new norms, new behaviors, new ways of being, and new structures across the network. That is literally what the science tells us and how a new culture is created. And the Cultural Catalyst Network, which is what's come out of this, is the transmission infrastructure for these leaders to connect, amplify, accelerate, and anchor a new culture.
I love it. And one of the things that you just said in that the biggest thing that like, I was sort of hit with like a couple of different things, but one of them is at the end of the day, it's also, culture and being that it's values, like values that you have and that whether in your company really matter. So, how do you work with people to pull those out?
Yeah. Well, what's interesting. So, one of the first things that we actually learned from the science of change, which is what Boyatzi spent 60 years researching. Okay. When I talked to him, he was like, I won't talk to you until I read my magnum opus, which is that book. And I've spent much time investing and time and energy into it. And one of the things that he talks about is the first principle of how change happens is connecting to one's ideal vision for themselves or a collective shared vision. Okay. So when we're at a precipice between who we've been and who we're next, we really need to connect with what is the new vision of what it is that I want to become? What does that consist of? What are the values that I have? What is the legacy that I leave behind? And what's really interesting too is part of what actually creates vision is our identity. So by being an athlete, I will push myself and get myself to do things that are not necessarily comfortable. But one of the things that Tony Robbins and even Dr. Benjamin Hardy talks about is that identity is one of the strongest forces in the universe in terms of how you behave. So cultural catalyst for people who are at a precipice, some people are like, I'm a total cultural catalyst. I hear this and I'm like, I didn't even have the language for that until you said it. And that's been designed that way on purpose, actually. Because people who say I'm a cultural catalyst, that is them saying that is my ideal identity. And for other people who say I'm a cultural catalyst, what that does is creates a collective shared vision of creating a new culture. And when you meet a cultural catalyst and you're like, I'm one, you're one, it's like you're on the same team, right? there's automatically values and purpose and things that are aligned with what it means to create a new culture. And that's what we're doing with the Cultural Catalyst Network. It's for the people who've already achieved what they've set out to achieve and they're seeking more purpose, more meaning, more impact. We can actually use business as a vehicle to create the new culture that we're in.
So when you talk about the network, right? Are you talking about like truly a network that people are getting together on like a weekly basis and they are pouring into each other so that they can all create impact or change? So describe that to me.
Yeah. Well, funny thing, it's like what I first want to like, let's dissect what the word network means, right? I go to network chiropractic, and what it does is they're helping your nervous system be able to communicate better with itself. And that's exactly what a social media network is. It helps us communicate with people all across the world. And so when I was like, Cultural Catalyst is the brand dream, literally, for people who are like, that's me and I want to find my team. The network is literally the relationships between people all across industries doing completely different things. But what's interesting is what the science tells us is what creates change, not just at an organizational level, but all the way up to the community level, down to partnerships and global processes, is something called resonant relationships, which is indicated by three things: shared vision, shared compassion, and shared energy. Right? We need to be able to activate each other. Having the right peers around you who have the ideal vision of yourself in mind, it's like going to the gas station and filling up your tank so that you can get where you want to go. And our relationships with the right people, oftentimes, what got us here won't get us there. And our existing infrastructure, just like Machiavelli said back in like 1500, the system is designed to protect itself. And so what we've created is a network literally based off of like Young Presidents Organization, YPO, very small forums of highly curated individuals who have similar levels of competence and consciousness. And for me, what I found in my own personal practice was by working with leaders who are in positions of greatest influence. So, for example, one of our people that we're in the process of enrolling right now, she has over a team of 100 people. She made $13 million in revenue last year, right? And she has the team, she has the energy, she has the attention, and she has the resources and leadership capacity to divert her infrastructure to not just be about revenue, but to actually change the culture that we're part of. And so, people like that, oftentimes they're kind of alone. Most of the people around them are contractors, employees, mentees. Most of the time, they're in the position of leadership. And what we found working with this level of individuals, they really need peers. And what the science is telling us is that is actually what creates sustainable and desirable change.
So tell me a little bit about then about the network. So like what's the formula that when people get together, like how does it like tell me about the network if someone you're enrolling them, like what does it look like?
Yeah, so when we're rolling someone and actually bring them into the network, there is an aspect of, identifying is this person in a systemic critical leverage position, right? What is their level of leadership, right? We're needing people to create a new culture that have quality leadership capacity, like level four, level five leadership in Maxwell's level of hierarchy necessarily. And they also have like actual resources that they can divert towards doing something different. So that's just on a like an intellectual level. And then on the nonlinear, the invisible side of things, we're actually tracking people's consciousness and using the scale of consciousness that Dr. David Hawkins created to actually calibrate where this person is functioning and whether they'll actually be in resonance with the people that are in the network. Because what we're doing right now is we're bringing people together that resource share, that problem solve, that collaborate, and ultimately create a new vision for the future, for the culture that we want to create, and then go do it.
And then, so I'm kind of again, are these people that are meeting weekly? Is it online? Is
Yeah.
it like, do you have like hubs all over?
Totally. So we're in the founding member phase right now. We're inviting in founding members. We're in the process of enrolling a founding member at the moment right now. And the forums are monthly. So up to 4 hours monthly, just like YPO does. Very small, like no more than eight people, actually. We're actually shooting for six is actually the ideal amount so that people can go deep, and there's actually space to be heard and for actual support. And really what we're doing is this isn't just about the intellect. right? Like the way YPO is set up is that you are resource sharing from a place of intellect. But what the science is actually showing us is we need to come into resonance with each other. We need to come into coherence with each other, which is actually down to the nervous system level. So we do that on a monthly basis. And then, of course, we have them come together on an annual basis because that's where we are right now. We need to come together. We need to bond. We need to have fun. And then we go back into our lives, and we purposely chose it for high performance and people who don't have a lot of time, but they want to go deep and they want to get a lot of value quickly. And they want to go back into what they're doing and then go up level themselves and their entire organization.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting. It's true. People who are sitting, whether they're a CEO or they're at a certain level, a lot of times they're sitting at the top by themselves. And having that collective group to actually connect with it's so important. What do you think the biggest shift, that your people, like the people that are part of the network, will end up having? Like, what do you think? What do you see that shift happening?
Yeah, so I am really excited about this because there's a couple things that really, really, really light me up. One is like we're putting these people who are fully capable of designing and creating a new culture into one room and having them collaborate and do it. Like there's something so fun and exciting and inspiring about the level of innovation that can happen there. The other things that I think that I'm most excited about in regards to this level of individual coming through, is that they don't realize that their need for peers isn't just this like some human need that needs to be let go, and that they have the capacity to just let it go because they have the grit and resilience to be able to do it themselves, right? No, they deserve friends. And what actually is going to be able to create a new culture? And again, I want to extend this beyond just organizational culture. Organizational culture is a part of it, but we can use business as a vehicle for good. I'm a student of Ray Dalio and have been for 5 or 6 years ago, the macro economist and investor of the massive hedge fund that I'm blanking on at the moment. And for me, when you actually look at what Ray found in his book, The Changing World Order, and his newest book, When Countries Go Broke, is that there's certain indicators of what happens when there's a rise and a fall of a nation. Okay. And we are in that right now, whether it be civil disrest or inflation, or the gap between the poor and the rich being really big. Natural disasters is another one specifically, right? These are real hard, emotionally taxing things that we're all going through, no matter what side you say you're on. And so what we're doing is literally creating an infrastructure by applying the science for leaders who are wanting to create a new culture. And for me, it's like we're doing it exactly when it's needed in a time of history at the moment.
Right. You're talking about creating that new culture, and it's almost like how do you feel like you can't do it fast enough?
I don't feel like I'm not doing it fast enough. I feel like this is actually, one of the things is, as a pioneer and as someone who's doing something completely new and bringing something new into the world and innovating, one of the challenges of that is, it's that saying of having the arrows in your back because you're leading the way, right? And one of the challenges of being a pioneer is that you might mistime things. Right? You might be seeing things way ahead of when they're actually ready to actually prosper. And I don't feel that way right now because when I say I'm a cultural catalyst and people are like, oh my God, I didn't know that word was possible, but I am too. Like, cultural catalyst is speaking to the heart of humanity in a way right now that has a life of its own that's greater than anything that I could possibly ever imagine. And so my job is to just, create the thing, make sure that it's from a place of integrity, make sure that I'm open-minded and continue to receive feedback and see the things that I can't see and become the leader that I need to be so that we can really create this new culture and it doesn't just stall, but it takes off and it's perfectly aligned with the timing of where things are at right now.
So what's the long range plan for this? Like, where do you see it going?
So there's I have a 4-stage scaling process that I'm taking it through. So again, because Hardy's like, don't read any of my other books, I'm like, okay, fine. So I've been reading his Science of Scaling now. I think I'm on time 7 right now, and I know exactly what it is we need to do at each scaling threshold. and what he calls below the floor. What is it you don't need to focus on, and what is it you need to focus on? And so right now we are going to enroll founding members. We're going to fill the container. We're going to optimize the delivery and make sure that this thing, works, but not just works, but consistently works, and create measurables around it. And then we're going to multiply it. So we're going to franchise it. And it's interesting, my AI is saying that what we're doing is a combination between CrossFit and YPO, basically. The like YPOs, the like, forums all over the world, both in person in your area and international. And then you can also franchise the brand with CrossFit, right? So it's kind of an integration between those. So once we do that, we're actually going to be setting it up so that we can license it. The other day, I was thinking, I was like, it's one thing to license it and multiply it, right? But how do we actually get this to be mainstream? And that's the next phase of it. So once we set it up, we get it to work, we get it, and the founding members will be helping us in that process. It's part of the agreement that they have with us on this specific thing. And then we literally set up for franchising and licensing, and then we multiply it, and then we literally get to be the brand like Hormozi. Everybody knows who Hormozi is, because his strategy was to make sure that his brand was so obvious that you didn't not know who he was. So that's the last phase of this, is it will start niche for certain individuals, and then it's going to go super mainstream as we build. And once we do that, we're able to create offerings and structures for people who might not be at the legacy level. Right. And then we can start working with level three and level four leaders, because we do have the infrastructure for that built. We're just not we're using, inspiration from Elon. He's like, make the most expensive Tesla first. Make the medium Tesla second. Make the less expensive Tesla third. And that's exactly what we're doing here, because we know, and the science shares with us, is to actually create systemic change, it has to happen at multiple different levels. We're just starting at where there's the most leverage at the moment.
So, Jacqueline, I love what you're doing. And I really could talk to you for hours on this, lots of different things, but I'm really curious about you in particular. Like, what makes you, like, what gives you this unstoppable grit and to go and keep going after it?
Totally. So it's funny. I'm actually in the process of writing a book right now, just a short one, because people keep asking me for it. They're like, why? Even yesterday, I was on a call with some type of doctor of sorts. And she was like, you went to school for sports marketing and now you're in cultural change. Like, how did you get here? And, when I was 25, I got fired from a dream job. And for the first time in my life, I was like, I don't want to do this. I don't know who I am, and I don't know what I want, which led me to addressing some health challenges I was having, and then finding a food addiction, and then being introduced to water fasting and being like, that solves that. You don't have to deal with food. You just water fast and you heal your body. The only thing I didn't know about myself, Jacqueline, was that I am determined. When I set my mind to a goal, it is just, inevitable, no matter how hard it is and what the challenges are. And
What's your name?
what'd you say?
That's your name. Just kidding.
Jacqueline means to supplant. So what I didn't know this about myself. And so when I got introduced to water fasting, I ended up actually fasting on water for 36 days.
Oh my God. That's a lot of time on just water.
Yes.
I'm thinking of headaches right now. Like I would have a serious headache. But so you did that for you did that 36 days. So you found out you actually have like this in, like this great drive and
Yes.
determination.
Yeah. And I needed that determination, because what happened during the fast opened up realities that I didn't know existed. And on top of that, to go from what happened in the fast, which was, I've studied to now understand what I went through, but I experienced unconditional love and peace, like timelessness, complete presence, like enlightened states. And it was for weeks on end, direct knowing these all different things. And it completely changed my personality and what was important to me. And I also overfasted. So I should have been done at 33 days. And I went 3 days past that. And it started going, my motor function started getting worse, and my memory and all that type of stuff. And long story short, just cutting out water out of it didn't solve the food relationship issue. So I actually ended up going and asking for help, and went through private wilderness therapy and transitional mindfulness-based care. And basically, it's been a decade of integration of it, and an immense amount of repetition of pretty much the same skill, which is how to let go of oneself. And what I found, and I didn't understand it at the time, but when they say, in the 12-step program that you need to devote and surrender your will over to God was one of the steps. And I was like, I don't know what that means. I wasn't an addict, so that wasn't the problem, but it was enough. And it was enough to being like, okay, great. Because of how hard the integration was on the other side of it, it challenged every fiber of my being to the point where I basically found that the best way to overcome it was to give my life over to something greater than myself. Over and over, relentlessly, all conditions, no matter what it is that life gave me, I let go over and over and over again. And I've become a new person in this. I've gone from Jackie to my Hebrew name to Jacqueline, and there's been lots of transformation. So I had to become someone new on the other side of that. And what drove me to even, fast in the first place was to heal my body to heal the world. Like, I had just stepped onto the entrepreneurship path for the first time. I was like, I'm going to go on the pathway of service. And then I got schooled by life because I had did not have the skill set that I needed to be the conscious creator of my reality. So I spent the last decade mastering, really just developing mastery, and helping other people with that. And seeing ridiculous results because of the skill set that I've had to obtain, and then getting to see what happens with systems. And I'm a systems thinker. So I was like, and part of what drove me in that recovery process, because again, I went to places in the psyche that no one really wants to go. Okay. was, being of service and alignment with my purpose, that there was a reason that I went through that hell and traversed the plains that I did. And experience what I did, because none of that scares me anymore, right? And that's part of the gift that I have is doesn't matter what you're going through, I got you, not a problem. And at the same time, I'm actually it's been a decade from now from that, and I actually have utter clarity as to what it is and why I went through that, so I can do here what I'm here to do.
Yeah, it's actually fantastic. And I totally get the whole idea of like writing the book on that, because that itself is a whole other topic, like to talk about. There's so much greatness there. But so, Jacqueline, how can our listeners get more of what you're doing, both, on both sides of it? Because obviously, what you're doing for leaders, but also what you're doing, I mean, it's also what you are doing to help other people heal too. Like, that's what you just said is a lot about the huge healing process that a lot of people need. So it's like there are two different buckets there. So how can people
Totally.
get you?
And I've gone through that phase, which is, many years ago, because I've been given resources and had access to things like wilderness therapy and even just like private mindfulness-based transitional care. Like, I've had access to things that I believe everybody needs access to. And for many years, it was important for me to make sure that mental health care services were provided to everyone and from everywhere, no matter how much money you have. And that actually got me to partner with Sonia Sophia, who is a healing practitioner of the last 30 years. She's a founder of the Sophia Wisdom Foundation. This is Sophia Wisdom School. She teaches EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique, to practitioners. And she also created something called the World Tapping Circle, which is EFT, which is for people who don't know what EFT is, it's similar to EMDR. And if you don't know what EMDR is, it is a very incredibly researched technique to help people recover from trauma. And she provides it on demand for no more than $20 a month. You can even find it for free on YouTube. And if you can't afford $20, doesn't matter. They will give it to you. And it works. So that is the World Tapping Circle. And so for people who are needing healing, that is there for you. And that's actually built into the network. So yes, we are working with the leaders, but we're also making sure that we're providing EFT for their teams so that they can expand their capacity as well. Because what actually is required to change, which is practicing new thoughts, feelings, attitudes, behaviors, that's actually one of the hardest parts about the change process. And there's a lot of stuff out there, and a lot of it doesn't work. And I know because I've had to figure it out. EFT works, and Sonia's amazing, and she holds a field of love for you to be able to process through whatever it is that you need to do. So the worldtappingcircle.com, or just not the World Tapping Circle, worldtappingcircle.com is a place for people to find that. And for people who are interested in what I'm saying is because what I'm doing here is I am embodying purpose, okay? And for people who are like hearing me this first time and they're like, holy cow, like I'm a cultural catalyst and I want more of what you have. It's not about me, first of all. And that's why we have cultural catalysts. If that is something that aligns with you and you are a cultural catalyst, we'd like to invite you to come to our masterclass, where we actually literally have them go through a transformational process. And they'll walk in one person and they'll walk out another person with a new impossible goal in frame. And it's going to help them filter all of their decisions and help them actually become that next version of themselves. So that's the masterclass that we have available. And that's every week. And you can go to culturalcontribution.com to find that. And if you want to find out more, because I know there's a lot here. And every time I talk to a podcast host, they're like, I could talk to you for hours. Please come back. So, if you go to culturalcatalyst.net, you can find our website. We've got podcasts on there. You can find out a little bit more about what we're working on. And all of our social media links are on there as well.
Awesome. All right. So, listeners, do me the favor. I will put all of those links in the show notes. But do me a favor, go and connect with Jacqueline and go to all those links so that you can get more of the greatness that she is offering. And I know that you know a leader or another professional who could hear this message. So please do me the favor and share this episode with your friends, your colleagues, and others. Because it is a really powerful message and it helps us change the world so that we have unstoppable success and great people who are leading us. So I'm Jacqueline, and we can thank Jacqueline for being a great guest. And listeners, again, thank you for listening. And until next time, keep leaping to your greatest success. Thank you so much for joining me on the Unstoppable Success Podcast, where we don't just talk about growth, we leap toward it. If something today lit a fire within you, sparked a new idea, or gave you the extra push forward, please don't keep it to yourself. Share this episode and podcast with a friend, colleague, or fellow high achiever. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review, and most importantly, connect with me, Jacqueline Strominger, at leaptoyoursuccess.com for coaching, community, and your next bold move. Keep leading with intention, keep building your network with purpose, and most of all, keep leaping because you were meant to be unstoppable.